Riding with that many people, it's indescribable. It really is. Like, your adrenaline's going, and you're aware of all these people. And obviously, you know, it is a little bit daunting because there are that many people, but you have to have a little bit of trust in your abilities riding a bicycle. And here's the big kicker. You have to trust everyone else.
Welcome to the Community Center for Marengo Urbanism, a show about bringing people together, especially when those people are having a great time and riding their bike through the city. I'm Kyler, I'll be your host today. I'm an architect and design communicator based out of Oklahoma City. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest who will be helping us to answer the question, how does a weekly bike ride turn into a massive block party on wheels that brings together a whole community? Danny Vo, welcome to the show. Could you start us out by telling us a bit about who you are and what you do?
Of course. My name's Danny Vo. I'm 32 years old, born and raised in Oklahoma City. I have a background in marketing. I have my degree in marketing. I love Oklahoma City, and I've been here my whole life, and it's almost sad to say that I feel like I haven't really lived in this city until I started riding my bike in it. And I know that sounds really weird when I say that, like I'm 32 years old and I only just felt like I am living in the city, but it really just goes to show you like how, if you go about your life commuting from point A to point B in a car, and then you do it by bike, you start to really realize how much of the world around you is cut off when you're in that car. And there's so much life in Oklahoma City. And just there's a lot more to pay attention to when you aren't in a metal box.
I could definitely relate to that feeling of getting out of a car and actually feeling like you are interacting with the yes. built environment around you, as opposed to just passing by it like it's like a TV screen.
Mm-hmm. And I like to make this point to people sometimes, not that like I am against the car. You know, I have a car and we live in a city and state that almost demands you do. And, you know, my whole thing is I'm not trying to get people to abandon their car. I'm just trying to get people out in the city and on a bike and trying to get them to experience viewing the city in a different way. So sometimes people meet me and they're just like, oh, you hate cars. And I'm like, no, I have a Subaru Outback. I love my car. But would I recommend everyone at some point explore their city, regardless of if it's Oklahoma City? It could be any city. But I challenge every single person to try and get out and view their city, their community, their neighborhood in a different perspective. And I feel like the bike really does that for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So tell me about the very start of Hide and Go Bike. How did it come to be?
Okay. So I didn't create Hide and Go Bike. That accolade goes to a couple of my friends, Logan and Austin, who are no longer admins for Hide and Go Bike. They have moved to Austin, New York City. Logan has moved back, but he's kind of just letting me take the reins, and I appreciate that. But so Hide and Go Bike started a little bit before the pandemic, and it started off as a ride and seek game. Hence the name Hide and Go Bike. But basically, if you were to visit the Instagram at the time and you saw a picture of a bike and you knew where it was, you could basically hop on your bike, go find that spot, take a picture, send it into the account. If you were the first person to find the spot, you get to basically move it. And we had these parameters, like a big circle, basically, that you play in to kind of keep the game kind of centralized in our more downtown proper, if you will. Oklahoma City is very large. We hear our mayor talk about it all the time. But I think if you really live in Oklahoma City, you kind of have an understanding of like what downtown proper is. But yeah, so the game originally was a hide and seek game. And can I curse on this?
Nobody has yet, but I'm not going to say you can't.
Okay. I know this sounds really fucked up, but I think because of the nature of the pandemic, it really allowed the game to thrive and to really take off. Because if everyone remembers, you know, we weren't allowed to interact with each other in tight spaces and whatnot. So like this game that basically told people to get outside and ride around. Yeah, just the pandemic just really allowed the game to take off. And the followers kind of just grew exponentially. And so during the pandemic, you would see all these people play the game without necessarily like seeing their face. You just saw their bike and you saw their Instagram handle. And so after a little while, during, you know, the 2 weeks of the pandemic, we saw a lot of people play the game. And then as the numbers started to kind of quell down, we felt like there was a need to bring people together, especially when after the pandemic, it kind of just seemed like that's what everyone was craving, was a little bit of human interaction. And so we brought the rides together for our first group ride. And that's kind of when I came on as an admin. And the first year we did it, there was probably 12, maybe maximum 20 people that did it. And I thought it was a party then. And then just over the years, it's grown and we've changed things. I tell people all the time, I don't have all the answers to this. I'm learning in real time as we go. And luckily, everyone has given me a lot of grace with that, because not everything runs perfectly, especially a bike ride with a couple hundred people. But yeah, so when we brought the ride together for group rides, I kind of quickly made this realization that like I had been here my entire life, but I like really didn't know the city. And I think with the pandemic, and I know it, like my story isn't unique in this way, but I feel like during the pandemic, a lot of people, how do I want to say this? I felt like a lot of people maybe lost their original friend group, or maybe they lost touch with people in the past that they were very close with. And I was one of those people, you know? Emotional. But whenever we started Hide and Go Bike, I had lost such a big former friend group. And I started riding bikes with all these people and they quickly became like my best friends. I'm rambling and I almost just cried. So
I think this is all like really interesting and important to what even is happening with Hide and Go Bike today. For anybody who isn't aware, I suppose, what is Hide and Go Bike now? Like if you were to show up, I guess it's most Thursdays you guys are doing it. What do you see?
Okay. So Hide and Go Bike, I'll just start off about what it is. So Hide and Go Bike, it's currently a weekly group ride on Thursdays. And every week I will route a different 10-mile route all in the urban core of downtown Oklahoma City. And almost every single street that we use is a city deemed bicycle route. It's a multi-purpose trail. So it's a way to show people not only like the safest ways to get around, it shows people a different way to get around. Because I think when you're getting around OKC and you have no experience with a bike, you tend to think about the ways that you get around by car. And I'm a bike person, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that every single street in Oklahoma City is meant to have a bicycle on it. Some of these streets in Oklahoma City have 50 mile per hour signage, 55 mile per hour signage. But at Hide and Go Bike, you can expect streets that are meant for bicycles. And I think it's really important to show people those streets, because in my opinion, it's like if I can show one person either a different side of town or a safer way to get home than they knew, then all of this is already worth it. But yeah, so if you came to Mesta Park, that's where we meet every Thursday. Currently, we meet at 6:30. We roll at 7 p.m. But if you came, you would probably see upwards of over 200 people on bicycles of all kinds. You have bicycles that people pull out of their garage that have been owned by their grandparents, their great-grandparents. You have bikes that are at the ride that are worth about the same price as my car. And let me tell you, it does not matter. because those same two wheels, regardless of if that bike costs $100, if that bike costs $10,000, we all leave point A and we all get to point B together. And yeah, that's what people can expect from Hide and Go Bike. I also try to coordinate with local restaurants, breweries, anyone with a patio to try to bring the group by and kind of take the group to maybe restaurants and bars they've never frequented. And these are all local places too. It's kind of just like an economic boost for these local business owners. Fun fact about me, I used to help manage our downtown social media. So I used to manage our downtown OKC, our Bricktown, Midtown, Auto Alley, West Village. So I've walked into a lot of these businesses and I know the business owners, I know the property owners, and like these business owners work so hard, their livelihoods are attached to their business and they put their literal blood, sweat, and tears into it. And I just want to share it. And I don't ask anything from anyone. I've been running this group for now 6 years and I do it with a $0 budget. So, you know, for instance, I just got off the phone with Burger Punk and Barceo over in the Paseo. And a question that was asked was, well, what do you want? And I was just like, I just told you, I just want to drop off 200 people on your patio. And then I probably want to grab a beer and then I want to go home. That's it.
That's fair. I guess, yeah, logistically, I don't know if you want to go into the technical details of what you do, but I'm actually intrigued of like,
yeah,
how does it look to be the organizer of a community weekly bike ride? Like what is that on your day to day? How does that work?
It is stressful. it is very stressful. And let me say, people do not take it for granted. When I go to a ride on Thursdays, people come up to me left and right and they say, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you. You know, blah, 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 blah. And some of the first things I tell people is, one, I need this too. So please don't thank me. Like, I get something out of this just as much as you do. Two, you helped as well. I may be coordinating, setting the route and whatever, yada, 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 but these 200 people, they show up. And something that they don't teach you in life is that most of the work is just all about showing up. Because without people showing up, my thing would be nothing. So yeah, people don't take it for granted. But what it usually looks like is at any given moment, I have probably at least the next 2 to 4 weeks already planned out. And you know, sometimes things happen, sometimes people cancel, sometimes I forget, but the work happens at the beginning of the week. So Monday morning, 9 a.m., I'm making phone calls. I'm sending Instagram DMs to businesses, to the liquor stores that we visit, to breweries, trying to see if they want to offer up some sort of sponsorship or anything. And so the work starts on a Monday. And so I'll usually send out, you know, all these messages and then see who's available, see who wants to have us. And then I'll start usually jotting those down on a calendar. And then the next step is to kind of plan the route. And planning the route used to be really hard, but after 6 years, it tends to be kind of quick. You know what streets has the lights, what streets are the city deemed bicycle streets. And so once you kind of lay those on a map, the route kind of draws itself, right? That's just the planning side of it, right? You know, the ride hasn't actually even happened at that point. And I always tell people at the beginning of the ride, I am the most stressed out. That is because we haven't actually done anything and everything could go wrong. But leading that many people can be tricky. Everyone has a very individual mindset. And I'm not a cop, so I'm like not trying to police anyone really. I just ask that before we leave, I tell everyone a small little disclaimer, like, hey, if you choose to ride with us, you accept full personal responsibility for anything that could happen, talking about crashes. But I tell people, hey, we can limit those interactions. We can call out our turns. We can ride in a straight line. We can give each other a little bit of space. And call out potholes and just kind of generally we can look out for one another. And I know that sounds really cheesy and whatnot, but you drill that into people's heads enough time and people will do it. People will call out turns. People will call out obstacles. I tell people, hey, if you fall down, I guarantee you someone will help pick you up. And we don't have that in life anymore. You know, we just don't. Somewhere between the last 10, 15 years, a lot of that human connection has been lost. I just think with how the world has been so shaped lately, it just seems like we're all just so fucking pitted against each other that it's nice to have this kind of third space that is free and is just everyone working with each other instead of against each other. And I think everyone can understand that the world isn't really like that anymore. And so for everyone to meet at this place on a certain day, at a certain time, to do this thing, it's something so small, but the energy that everyone puts into it, you can feel it. It's palpable. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. And sometimes it's easy to explain what goes on and sometimes it's really hard. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I should say for the listener, I told you this before we started recording, but I have not actually been to a hide and go bike event before, even though it sounds like exactly the kind of thing I would want to go to. But like everything I see from you guys is like, I've seen so many videos of different snippets of occurrences during these rides. And it's like, it always looks like these people are having so much fun together.
And we are. The video isn't faking anything. So in the first couple of years of Hide and Go Bike, a lot of people would just like call me, oh, you're the bike guy, with kind of like a little negative connotation to it. But as we've grown and people see the size and people see the smiles on people's faces, people see people in cars honking, and not in a bad way, people are like, oh my God, like support, honk, honk, which is kind of like ironic in a way, because it's like 6 days out of the other 7 days out of the week, any honk by a car would, you're trying to run me off the road. But on Thursdays, you can like sense that it's different. Or like when we roll through Midtown or the Plaza, people on the streets are cheering. So yeah, it's so fun.
I'm curious. I have heard that there are a couple of complexities when it comes to actually riding a bike in such a large group, especially like when the street is wide and you guys are all on the street and then suddenly it has to collapse down to like a bike lane or something. Like, tell me about how riding in the group is different than just riding on your own.
Sorry, I just like thought about it for a second. So like, I love riding by myself. I reserve special times to do it. I love riding with people, but I love riding by myself too. It gives me a little bit of clarity. It gives me time to just think and just to ride. But versus riding with that many people, your adrenaline's just pumping because it is something that I guarantee most people have never done. So when you're really in it and you're surrounded by all these people, your adrenaline's going and you're chatting with people and you're looking around, you're keeping your head on a swivel. We roll pretty slow for the most part. It's a very casual ride. I feel like a lot of people think about bicyclists and they think, you know, I need to be in a skin tight latex, and I have that close too, but the Thursday ride is a lot more casual. You can literally wear whatever you want. But riding with that many people, it's indescribable. It really is. Like, your adrenaline's going and you're aware of all these people. And obviously, you know, it is a little bit daunting because there are that many people, but you have to have a little bit of trust in your abilities riding a bicycle. And here's the big kicker. You have to trust everyone else. And that's really hard when you don't know everyone's name, if you don't know their background, if you don't know all of these things that normally you would want to know before you trust someone, right? But at Hide and Go Bike, you may not know everyone, but you trust that they're not going to swerve in front of you. You trust that they're not going to bump into you. And I think when you have a group of any size that trusts each other, the outcomes are magical. A lot of people ask me, like, how do you get these people to do it? I ask them nicely. I don't tell people to do anything. I let people know that the ride is come and go. If you wanted to go to the liquor store and then go immediately home, by all means. I hope that you do stay and do the entire ride. I spent a lot of time routing it. And you know, some people do. Some people have a dinner that they need to get to, et cetera, et cetera. But more often than not, people will do the entire ride. And am I forcing them? Absolutely not. Do I care if someone gets up and leaves mid-ride? Absolutely not. I don't know their life. I don't know what they have planned. They could be visiting someone, a loved one. You know, they could be taking care of a family emergency. But I am very grateful that they would even show up to the beginning. And like I said, the ride used to be a lot smaller. And like I also said, like, every week is a learning opportunity for me. Sometimes the ride goes perfectly. And sometimes I'm yelling at people. But I always tell them, if you catch me yelling, I am yelling because it comes from a place of love. And it's because I don't want to see you 20 feet ahead of me and then get smacked by a car, you know? And I tell people who ride in the front, hey, we're riding in the front. We are leading this ride and it's all fun. But I'll tell people this several times throughout a ride. I'll be like, hey, everyone in the front, look behind you really quick. And they'll see how long the line is. They'll see how many people. And it really puts into perspective that, like, yes, everyone is out here riding for themselves, but we are one group and we are all looking out for each other. And so while we are in the front, it might be really easy to forget about everyone behind you, but just know that they're there and they trust that you are in the front to lead them to that next point.
Another thing that I've heard is that there's a lot of like spin-off rides that happen as well from people who have met at these events, or like group chats where people, you
Absolutely.
Know, get together.
And I encourage it. I tell people all the time, say hi to the person next to you. Grab someone's number. I mean, obviously, like, not in a creepy way, but like, make friends. I'm a firm believer that, like, no one tells you how hard it is when you're older, how hard it is to make friends.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, no one tells you, like, how hard, like, life really is. And especially like after the nature of the pandemic, I think it really put into perspective for a lot of people, like, how important friendship is. You know, it's not just something that they talk about in animes as they beat like the villain. It's critically important to see over the span of like 5 to 6 years, not only like me get a new friend group and like some of the best people I've ever met, but I see it happen for like so many other people. And I'll look at my Instagram stories on like a Tuesday or a Sunday or any other day of the week, and I'll like see people riding around. And so like this thing has opened every single door for me. And so if it can give people even like a fraction of what it has given me, like, so great. So yeah, I see people make friends when the ride is over. Like, if we wanted to, we could ride all night. We could ride until midnight if we wanted. But the ride from start to completion will take about an hour 45, maximum 2 hours. And I always try to stop it at a reasonable time. You know, I still have work Friday morning. Most of these people probably still have work Friday morning. But I end it at kind of a time that allows people, hey, if you want to go home, by all means, but if you want to grab a few friends and carry on with your night, sick. And people do that. So a lot of people don't know this at first, but we always meet at Mesta Park, but the ride almost never ends at Mesta Park. It will either end at like a brewery that I was talking about or a restaurant, yada, yada, yada. And people will ask me, they're like, how do I get back to my car at Mesta, or how do I get back to, you know, wherever? And I'm like, well, if you do this ride enough, you will know what streets you need to be on to get back to your car or back home. But sometimes if we're standing at the end and someone's asking, well, how do I get back to Mesta? I'll literally scream, who is going back to Mesta Park? And everyone will raise their hands, and I'll just be like, well, now you have 20 people to ride with back to your car. Be sure to introduce yourself. But yeah, the ride isn't all sunshine and rainbows, though. I've seen some things, and I have had the Oklahoma City Police Department message me before, and that shit is scary.
Yeah, I guess from that, what are some of your lessons learned or like cautionary tales for if somebody else in a different city is trying to organize something like this? What would you recommend they do in advance to try to prevent bad occurrences? I mean, obviously you can't cover everything, but
absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say that's number one, understanding that you can't prevent everything from happening. And that's kind of a tough pill to swallow, especially like when you are like kind of controlling almost every aspect of it, from the route to the vendors. So yeah, there was a point in the beginning where I did try to control everything, and you realize that these are humans and that you shouldn't just control the outcome every single time. You can kind of push everyone towards an outcome that you would like to happen, like, hey, everyone get to point B safe. Is that going to happen every single time? I don't know. I wish I did know. I think that if I were to give, and I have given advice to other people, I want to say at least 3 times a year do I get a DM from an account from a different city, and they're like, hey, we just started this. Do you have any advice? And I always just say like, hey, shit's going to happen. But some other advice I give people is like safety, safety. And if you are like, if you ride your bike often, and you know, the people who are really into bikes, people think like, oh, like they're going to run lights. No, we want to live another day so that we can ride bikes. So I always tell people, I'm like, encourage safety. It might sound really lame. It might sound really corny, especially when you're like trying to build your group ride in the beginning. You really want it to be cool and you want it to be fun. But if people aren't getting home safely at the end of most nights, people aren't going to come to your ride if they think that they're going to get hurt every week. So yeah, just like pressing the issue of safety is really big. Pressing the issue of like not feeling invincible. Because when you're riding with 200 plus people, you get this like sense of, you know, invincibility. And I'm just like, throw that in the garbage. If one single car were to go through this, like, it'd be over. And also just planning, you know, the more things that you have planned, the easier it'll be on yourself. I used to just wing it. I used to just wing like, do we want to go here? Like, let's go here. And then not like understanding what kind of construction is going on and where, from what times, understanding like our public transportation and the routes that it takes. And like the more that you can understand your city, wherever you want to put your ride, the more you can understand your city and how it ebbs and how it flows will help your bike ride. But yeah, people always talk about the videos on Hide and Go Bike, and people are like, it looks so fun. And it is fun. You know, the videos aren't faking anything. I'm not going up to people and being like, smile. I simply just walk around and I record the moment, and the reactions on people's faces, the smiles, it does all the work for me. I said that I have a background in marketing. That is true. Do I know what I'm doing all the time? No, absolutely not. Mark Zuckerberg's out here changing the algorithm every day. Other accounts that have asked me, like, do you have any tips? I just say, in terms of marketing, be consistent. So when people go on the Thursday night ride, over time and from like just patterns, they understand that Friday morning, they're going to see a video. And come Tuesday, they're going to see the new route dropped. And so you create this schedule for people, for your audience. And as long as that schedule of information, i.e. posts, reels, stories, as long as everything that you are posting has your audience in mind, has information that is critical for them to enjoy what you are offering, the marketing is going to do what it does. Now, sometimes a lot of people ask me, hey, I go on the rides. Will you share this? Will you share this? Hey, the city is doing this. Will you share it? I'll say no. And not because like whatever it is that they want to be shared, you know, isn't important. It just has nothing to do with what I'm doing. So it's like trying to throw a dart that doesn't have a needle on it. Like it's just not going to stick. And I have always like been pretty hard about that just because I know that like, you know, you help share someone's thing here. You need to help share someone else's thing here. And then all of a sudden your messages are getting lost in the void. I mean, I take some pictures and I do some video work here and there. And so, you know, I like to think that the videos are done pretty well. And so, yeah, all these things, if your message is clear to your audience, if you're showing people having a good time authentically, other people are going to want to join and other people are going to want to ask, what is that thing that you do on Thursdays? Do people always come immediately when they find out about it? Absolutely not. Actually, when people tell me like, hey, this is my first ride, I always love to ask them, how long did it take you from when you heard about it versus when you came? And for a lot of people, they're like, dude, it took me a really long time. I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, don't apologize. You don't have to say sorry. I'm just trying to understand because I want to understand why. Like you see online that this is so cool. You follow the account. You have friends that go. So I just want to know, like, not in a rude way, but like, what took you so long to join in on the fun? And it kind of just goes back to what I was saying about like, it's hard making friends nowadays. Like you understand that all this fun is happening and you understand that you want to be a part of it. And fuck, you may know a shit ton of people there, but there is still something inside of you that's holding you back from going. And whether that is like, I don't know, maybe your mind is saying like, I don't deserve to have fun, or that's what kids do. Kids ride bikes. Fuck that. Like if you're looking at it on your phone and your brain is telling you, I want to go do that, go do it. And I just try to help people understand that, like, oh, it took you 3 months to get out here, but you really wanted to get out here the next week. And then they're out there, and then they're out there every Thursday. There are people that come from Tulsa every week. There are people that travel from Ardmore, from Enid, from Muskogee. I've had people from Kentucky say that they follow the account. They knew that they were going to be in town on a Thursday. And they rented some Spokies bikes, some Ride OKC bikes. And I'm just like, that is fucking crazy. A conversation that a lot of people don't want to have yet, though, and I don't mean this in like any offensive way. I'm included in this group. But you grow up watching TV and you see that TV show with little kids in the neighborhood and they're all playing around with each other and they're riding bikes with each other. I didn't have that. I didn't live in a neighborhood that like had a lot of kids. I lived in a senior citizen neighborhood. Lights out, 8 p.m., dark, streets were dark. So like I saw that on TV, kids playing with each other, having adventures and whatnot. And I didn't have that. And so when I ride bikes on Thursday, I am healing this inner child of mine that didn't get to ride bikes with their friends, that didn't get to like laugh with their friends. And I would like to think that a lot of people at the Thursday rides are also healing their inner child. How are we supposed to be adults if we can't fix the child in us?
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I'm curious about is,
shoot, yeah,
this is kind of unrelated to what you were just saying, but from planning all of the routes that you've planned, is there any sort of frustration that it's uncovered with the actual design of Oklahoma City and like the layout?
Yes. Yeah. So when you look at a city map and you're like, man, I really want to get over here. And then you start doing the work to try to make that happen. And then you realize there actually is not a safe way to do this. For instance, like if you wanted to go over to the east side and see some of the newest parks that have benefited from MAPS money, Edwards Park, the new Dewey Park on the east side, that's all great. But if you wanted to get over there by bicycle, there is only one way to do it. And that's just in general for the east side. If you wanted to get over to the east side by bike, there's really only one way to do it. And you know, that probably dates back to like decades old racist infrastructure, you know, isolating the east side into a food desert. Or like, for instance, if you wanted to cross 39th Street on the west side of Klassen, you can't do it. There is not a single light that would help you do it. And if I wanted to do it with the bike game, I would have to stop four lanes of traffic for our group to safely move across. Now, all that being said, I'm just like trashing on Oklahoma City real quick, and which like anyone who lives here can do it. But I will say in the past several years, a lot of work has been done in regards to like bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. And you're interviewing me, but there are people that work at the city that actually do the hard work. People like Maxton Harris, my former roommate, he's a senior planner for Oklahoma City, or James Cooper, city council person. That's where the real hard work. I lead a group ride and I get to smoke weed and drink a beer. And sometimes I get like a free burger or a slice of pizza. And these people down at the city are like doing the difficult jobs, they're answering like the difficult questions. But I think that Oklahoma City has done a great job in the past several years, kind of growing the bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. Could it be better? Yeah. I love the city, but it doesn't mean that I can't like be highly critical of it. But yes, I also shared something recently that like a critical mass ride is the first sign that like your city is getting big. Most big cities have a critical mass ride. I follow about 15 to 20 of them in about 12 different states. And so for me, it was just like eye-opening. That's like, oh, our city can support this and people want to do it. And they're not only coming from downtown proper, they're coming from everywhere. And also, Hide and Go Bike is 5 or 6 years old. And I want to say that a lot of the bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure improvements have been made since Hide and Go Bike has been formed. I can't like adequately say that like, oh, it's a fact, but it makes sense. There's no other group rolling around with 300 people around on city deemed bicycle streets. And then the next week, those same bike street signs on the floor are repainted.
You may have already answered this, but like what has been like one of the most impactful things you've seen come out of Hide and Go Bike, or of just, you know, organizing within the community? Like what out of that has had the most impact on you or on others, do you think? I know that's also very broad.
Yeah, no. It is broad, but so much has happened to me in the past 5 or 6 years. I didn't grow up like hearing, and this is like, I said this recently before, and I hope it didn't come out bad, and I'm going to try to rephrase it now. And this is like no slight on my parents at all. My parents are immigrants and they were trying to assimilate to a world that wasn't theirs. And in that same breath, trying to raise 4 children in a world that they didn't know anything about. And that's like trauma for me to like deal with later, that I have dealt with later. But that being said, I didn't grow up hearing from my parents that like I could do good things. And not that my parents were like, oh, this little motherfucker, he's evil. No, they were just like focused on like putting food on the table and like making sure that my sisters and I did our homework that like my parents couldn't help us with because they didn't know English. My parents, they told all of us this, they be a doctor. But other families, other more traditional families, you know, they grow up hearing like, you're going to do great things. Like, oh, you're going to change the world. And like, I didn't hear that growing up. And like, as a kid, not hearing that and like kind of wanting to hear that, but not, you start to wonder like why you didn't hear it. And then you start to wonder like, well, okay, Maybe because I didn't hear it, maybe I'm not capable. So maybe because my parents didn't tell me I was capable of good things, maybe I'm just not destined to bring good into the world. And so post high school, I was a bad kid. I lived like a very different life and like not a life that I'm like necessarily like super proud of. And so when this bike thing came around, and like I told you earlier, like people thank me all the time and I say, hey, I need this too. And it's because like when this started, very selfishly, like I made this for me and it just so happened to be good for others as well. So when people thank me, I like, honestly, I can't take all of it because I'm just like, I need this a lot. But over time, I have like seen the good it's done for me and the good that it's provided for other people. And then like a couple years ago, received a little impact award right there. And then that kind of like put it into perspective for me that like, oh, not only is this good for other people, there are people that don't go on this ride and understand the impact that it brings to other people. And so that was really important for me because for so long, people would just refer to me as like the bike guy. And now it's like, they still call me the bike guy, but it's like with a lot more enthusiasm and a lot more like good attached to it. I don't know. I just used to live such a different life. And like to even think for like a fucking second that you can't do any good in this world, like to think that like you can't provide any good in life, it's like it's such a fucking sad way to live. And like, I cannot believe, like, I sit here in front of you and I like truly cannot believe that for so long, I didn't think it was possible. And now it is possible. And all I'm doing is pedaling. All I'm doing is riding my bike. And if I could just like go back in time and just try to explain it to a past self, like it is as easy as pedaling a bike. It is not some unsolvable math question. It is not brain surgery. Being good and like offering good towards your community can be as easy as asking someone's name and just wanting to be their friend. And it's like, I cannot believe that I thought being good was so difficult. But yeah, I think that's what Hide and Go Bike has taught me the most, is that it's a lot easier to provide good for your community than you think it is. And it's a lot less work than you think it is. And like I sit here in front of you and I say like, oh yeah, well, planning starts on a Monday and then the route and yada, yada, yada. And yeah, it is a lot of work. But for the outcomes that you see, like I would do it again. And I do it again. I've done it every week for the past 6 years. And it just goes to show you that like it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Danny, thank you very much for talking to me today. If somebody asking for a friend wants to come out to a ride, when are they? And also beyond that, if somebody just is interested in your work, where can they find out more about that?
Yes. So we have an Instagram account for Hide and Go Bike, and we post all of our updates on there. We post all of our ride recaps on there. And in the link in bio, it'll also take you to the Strava Club that I created last year as kind of a way to show people like, hey, I did this ride. I wonder who else did this ride. And then you can get on Strava. And not only can you like track your miles and track the exact route, you can also like see who did it with you. So people can find out that way. And then if people want to inquire more about me, my name is on the Instagram somewhere, but it's also at danny.vo.dang. And I'm on Instagram as well. But yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I think this was a great conversation.
Thanks, Kyler. I'm sorry for rambling. I'm a rambler.
Rambling is encouraged.
I'm a chatter. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. I love talking about Hide and Go Bike. I could talk about it all day. And I really do. I really do talk about it all day. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what next year will look like. But I know that there will be good times. to be had.
I'm excited, and hopefully I can plug in and be a part of it at some point.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Kyler. If you enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to give the show a like, rating, subscription, or whatever kind of nice feedback you can provide on whatever platform you're watching or listening from. If you'd like to join our community to stay up to date or to discuss anything you heard in today's show, consider joining the Aringo Urbanism Discord server. And finally, if you'd like to support the work of Aringo Urbanism directly, you can do so over on Patreon. Until next time.